here is to help you become the best version of yourself. This weekend, on today's episode, this past weekend was Memorial Day. We celebrate talking about the sacrifice of so many men and women in uniform that literally laid down their life on foreign lands and end up, you know, literally some of them never come home. And so it's a great sacrifice for them, and they lay down their lives so that we get to live in the greatest country in the world with all the freedoms that we have, despite obviously the many political flaws and flaws in general that people feel that we have. We still, if you were to pick any time in history and any place to be born, you would pick right here, right now, United States of America, greatest country in the world. So grateful for the sacrifice of so many. And so we thought that on today's episode, we would talk about this idea of sacrifice. And I don't know about you, Joe, but for me, I think of a couple of things when I think of sacrifice right off the bat. I'll go to a scripture in John that talks about greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friend. Talk about a sacrifice. When we think of sacrifice, you know, it's powerful, it's painful, it's inspirational. However, in the world we live in, there's this tension, right? Because the vast majority of the world we live in lives for their own personal happiness, right? Whatever, you know, you hear people say all the time, we just want you to be happy. Just do whatever you think is best. And so I wrestle a bit because we love the idea of the inspirational, sacrificial story, right? But there is this inherent need in our culture for that highest value in our postmodern, secular, humanist kind of culture to validate myself, to take care of myself, to isolate and take care of. And I wonder where the value of sacrifice fits for the vast majority of people. Does it come in other ways? Am I not seeing it clearly? To quote one of your heroes, Napoleon Hill says this, "Great achievement is usually born of great sacrifice and is never the result of selfishness." So how do we marry these two things? So in our culture, on one hand, you have people saying, do whatever is best for you, you know, forget everybody else, make yourself happy, make those decisions. And then we have this kind of pinnacle ethic of, you know, to sacrifice, to lay down what I want so that Joe's life is better.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Oh, man. Yeah. And this is, you know, you and I are both planners. So both of us have gone through the hypotheticals in our head about what we'd be willing to do to protect our families and protect people we care about. And our heroes and the people that are the, you know, big heroes in movies are the ones that are willing to, like, put it all, stake it all on that moment.
You know, William Wallace, all that. Yeah. 100%.
And so, you know, I've pictured, but, you know, 99% of the time, it's self-preservation. You're right. I mean, in normal circumstances, when it comes to property or your job or whatever, you're willing to go so far, but it's not like giving up your life kind of stuff. But there's certain elements of your life that you're absolutely willing to put you between someone you care about and a bad thing. And, you know, as a leader of a family, I mean, you got to warm up to that if it came down to it. You ever get put in one of those moments where you thought maybe you were going to be close and you either did or didn't do what you thought you were going to do?
You know, I think I played those scenarios out in my head. I'm not sure I've ever been in a spot where I thought, man, what would happen if, you know, you think like, oh, if I, you know, I'm concealed carrying and somebody comes up, you know, what would I do? You know, you go through those scenarios. It's why you, you know, in some cases purchase firearms to, you know, for your home, or it's why you may carry a firearm. But I think for the vast, you know, majority of folks, you never run into that situation. Most people avoid those situations like the plague. Like, we all talk about it in this like high inspirational ethic, but nobody wants to be in that spot. Like, nobody's looking for that. Some people are, but the vast majority of people don't want to have to be brave.
Yeah, well, if you rehearse it, so I want to do the right thing when it matters.
Absolutely.
Okay? And so this one time I'm walking in Poland and I'm pushing a stroller with my, you know, probably less than a year old son in the stroller, and I'm pushing it. And a hornet comes and starts buzzing me, and I push the stroller away from me, and I'm running around like this as the stroller is rolling away. I thought, that was probably not the best father move that you could have, right? And I'm thinking, that's probably the next time, take the sting and hold on to your kid. So if it mattered, I'm sure it would have been different, but I don't want to screw up in that critical moment.
Yeah, no. There's a show that's on YouTube or one of those that I've seen several clips of where couples will set up their significant other or spouse in a situation where they have to intervene to protect them. But it's all staged, and there's cameras, obviously, and everything else. There was one instance where, you know, this couple goes to a funeral of somebody they don't know, and the one spouse was like a coworker's friend or something like that. And in the middle of this weird funeral at a funeral home, the guy who comes out to perform the funeral is like a voodoo witch doctor. And then the guy in the casket comes back from the dead.
Okay.
And hubby books and leaves his wife there with the dead guy holding on to him and stuff. And so like scenarios like that, right. You know, one, they're hiking and they go to, you know, to stop and go to the bathroom. And they open like a porta pot or whatever. And inside's a dead body. And then all of a sudden the guy's not dead and hubby takes off, or the wife, you know, the spouse right. takes off. And, but yeah, in those moments, you know, honestly, most people think they know what they would do. But when you're in those moments, like certain fight and flight,
yeah, and your good reaction, like this stuff, because your brain's going to take over. You're not going to, that's not right. gonna be a conscious decision. So if a car is bearing at you
yep.
and I throw Debbie in the way, I don't want that to be the my reaction, right?
So
I
got
to
practice. He does love you.
I got to practice tackling her, making sure she's safe yeah. so I do the right thing.
No, 100%. That's such a challenge. And when we think of sacrifice, it always begins in that life and death kind of arena. But we also do micro sacrifices every day, whether that comes in the form of priorities, business decisions. When we say yes to something, we're sacrificing something else. And so sacrifice is something that I think kind of permeates everybody's life, whether they like it or not, right? You make a decision, whether you don't make a decision. Not making a decision is making a decision, right? So at some level, this idea of sacrifice, it really has to be something we're all comfortable with, because we're doing it on a daily basis. So what are some of those micro sacrifices? So we talked a little bit, and we intro the kind of the inspirational, lay down your life, take the sting from the hornet, don't throw Debbie in front of the bus, you know, that sort of stuff. But on a regular basis, what, you know, some of our listeners, what they're going to get out of this, how should they be navigating sacrifices? And, you know, when is it a good time to say, you know what, I'm not going to sacrifice. That's not something I'm willing to sacrifice. And other times, when is it okay to say, you know, I'm going to lay this down, business, in your marriage, where would you go with that?
Well, just like we go through the hypotheticals on the big sacrifices, I do the same thing with the small ones. So Doug comes over and says, hey, can I borrow your lawnmower? And I'm like, sure. Now, when I lend you the lawnmower, I go through the hypotheticals, like if he takes it and it gets stolen, I got to know what I'm going to do. If he takes it and it breaks, I got to know what. If he takes it and I never see Doug again, I got to be cool with all three of those before yeah. I let you take it. And then when it happens, I'm like, I was willing to make the sacrifice when I lent it to you. Mm. I didn't do it and then hope something didn't happen.
Okay. So sacrifice in advance. It's playing out that scenario ahead of time.
Being willing to take the worst case scenario okay. and be okay with it.
Yeah. So then let's translate that over a little bit into business, right? So you have to make a decision between this client or that client, or you have to upcharge something. You have to work extended hours and miss family stuff or whatever. You have to be able to measure those sacrifices. Does that come down to, like you said, in the terms of the car, is that a muscle memory thing? Like we've trained in advance for that moment, so it's easy to make that decision? Or do you find those decisions like I do? Sometimes you're like, I really want to satisfy this customer, and I really don't want to make the wife unhappy. I really want to take care of this person, but I know my muscle memory is telling me to do.
Well, I have a couple customers that we did go through this a couple times, and the way that I have relationships is that they know what I'm willing to do. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, I have a customer that's 24 hours a day operation. And I told him on day one that I'm willing to come there at 2 o'clock in the morning if you need me. And I want you to try really hard not to need me at 2 o'clock in the morning, right? Yeah. So if they call, I know that they tried everything else and then got to me, because we just have a great understanding. I really won't take customers on who don't have a respect for, you know, what's important to me, like family mm-hmm. time. If they call me on a whim, or, you know, mm-hmm. and you know, tell me they're going to do some work when I'm not feeling well, those kind of things I don't surround myself with, or else you get put in those traps.
Yeah, no, that's really good. How about family, right? So you have to be able to navigate, you know, spending time with your son, spending time with your wife. You have extracurriculars, you have church, you have business, you got a lot of things that take your time, but obviously family is a high priority for you. So how do you navigate when it's okay to sacrifice something that's important?
Oh man, that's a rough one because if I had time travel, it would be a completely different deal, right?
Yes.
So I could do it and then just go back and read. Right. But really strict set of rules. When I feel like I'm slighting or I'm not giving adequate time or whatever, I'm first and foremost, dedicated to family. It's order of operations, honestly.
Okay.
When it comes to family first and then all other things, family's always going to win. Right. And then normally they're willing to sacrifice for me more than anything. So, I'm going to say, hey, I don't really want to go to work. Are you guys cool with it? And they're like, no, go to work. Get it done. We can always spend time with. So I just got really good people around me, honestly. Makes it easy.
I think those shared values are what makes that easy to decide. Hey, obviously in my profession, there are times where people die. And I have to do the funeral. Like they're never at convenient times. They're never at a moment where you're like, oh, we were totally ready for this. Like it always comes in that spot where, the poor family's reeling from this passing, whether they were preparing of someone who, had cancer for a number of years, or whether it was a car accident instantaneous and they need me. And those funerals end up, coming in. And so we know, and we have a pre-understanding, as you would say, Sam knows when I have to go, I got to go.
Right. And you're not going to take advantage of that and, use that up. It's really an emergency type of
situation. Exactly. And we have instances where, as well, when, people are in life and death situations and they want me there for prayer or they want me in the hospital or whatever, I can think of a couple of instances, but Mother's Day, I think 2 years ago, maybe I don't know, but a couple years ago, The Greatest Showman had just come out, right? Your movie.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
Love it. And I had gotten it for her for Mother's Day, and she wanted us all to sit down and watch it. We hadn't watched it yet. We're so excited. We start this movie, and I get a phone call. Someone's in the hospital, and it's not going to be okay. And I had to go. And I had to look at her and be like, Happy Mother's Day. Like, but she understands. Like, that's our pre-arrangement in advance. And so when those sacrifices have to be made, we're able to do that because then the following week, hey, I'm going to take a little bit of space here, a little bit of time here where I'd normally be in the office, and you and I are going to get to spend some time, do something special. I have to find a spot to kind of do that. Or sometimes I do that in advance too. Being a business owner, do you find how you navigate your time? Do you look at that and go, well, I'm going to work a little extra here so that I can take off here, or because obviously, nobody's checking in on Joe to make sure he's, you don't have a time card you punch in,
right,
or punch out on. So you really get to set the tone and the schedule for yourself. So how do you navigate that?
I play psychological trickery with that. So let's just say I have some weekend time, right? Some spare time that I've got nothing going on. So I'm going to get a couple extra hours in so that during the week I could, if I wanted to, not do something towards the end on a Friday or whatever. Mm-hmm. And when I remove that pressure that I don't have to do anything on Friday, some weird things open up where I get things that are more enjoyable on Friday that are still work items. So where I was trying to like hedge it and take some time off, I end up getting more hours for the week because I took that pressure off.
Oh, okay. So, yep. Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. It's just like working a budget with your finances. So let's go a layer deeper on this idea of sacrifice.
Can I share one thing with you?
Go ahead.
Because I thought about it. I'll forget it if I don't. So one time, this was, every bit of 10 years ago, Deb and I were going to take a cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And a big project came up where I had to front a whole lot of server equipment.
Okay.
It was like a couple $10,000 or so. And so we were all ready for this cruise, and I had to take our cruise and sell our cruise back, cancel it to buy the server equipment.
Ooh,
and so I was willing to do it. But to this day, it becomes a good story. But, in the moment, she didn't warm up to the fact that this was kind of her life, that I was going to be doing crap like that all the time. But that was a big one. That was one of the bigger ones early on.
Ouch. Yeah. No, definitely. And it always complicates things. It's one thing for like, hey, I want to sacrifice whatever, when it's just on me, but when it affects my wife or my kids or whatever. My wife's a trooper. I've been to Israel now several times, and I love to lead these trips, but that's 10, 11 days where she's got all four kids by herself. It's usually in the middle of winter in Ohio, so we don't have any family nearby and stuff like that. So she's flying solo most of those times. Now we've had the luck or the privilege, I guess, of having family sometimes that have been able to come in. My sister-in-law and brother-in-law were here with us, the last time. They actually stayed with the kids so Sam could come with me, which was a huge sacrifice on their part. But I know for her, it's a huge sacrifice to do that because it's hard enough with four kids and two of us, but then to take me out of the equation for 10, 11 days and I'm enjoying sunshine and everything else. And she's here in the snow and getting them on the bus and everything else. Those sort of things. And having those partnerships is really powerful, especially yeah. In your close relationships.
Back. And here's another big sacrifice that it was a stupid sacrifice, but at the time, so I was working at a racetrack on mm-hmm. Saturday nights and I was doing like the scoring and check writing and stuff like that.
Okay.
And the gig paid all of $50. And so one weekend, Deb and I went over to Philadelphia and we were doing some training over in Philadelphia. And, the weekend said it was going to rain. So I thought it was a pretty good deal that the races were going to be canceled and we're going to have to do it. Right. And so the cleared up and it got sunny on Saturday. So I had this thing, I'm 8 hours away from this racetrack. I'm going to drive home, do the racetrack and drive 8 hours back. Totally willing to do this. And so I get about 2.5 hours, 3 hours into the trip home, and it unloaded and rained, and I got to drive back. But that was a big one. That's for $60, I was willing to drive 16 hours to fulfill my obligation to do my job.
Wow.
Man.
Yeah. You're not going to get that back.
No, not at all.
No, that's, and it's interesting because level of relationship will determine sacrifice. You know, when Sam and I were dating, right, and you're in that puppy love kind of phase and you're just, everything they do is amazing and you just,
honeymoon phase.
Yeah. And, but when you're in that, like, you don't realize, like, you're just willing to throw everything out the window. Like, when I was a youth pastor, I used to watch a lot of teenagers and they would, all their friends would go away, everything else, because they are focused on this individual that they are infatuated with. And I know that, we dated in high school, and that was a challenge for us. My in-laws actually instituted Doug Less Days because they thought that was really creative. I didn't find it that creative. But they were trying to teach us boundaries that, like, hey, at the end of the – even in good scenarios where, it wasn't like we were doing anything terrible, but at the end of the day, like, they were just trying to teach us, like, hey, there are other things here. Like, I know you're willing to sacrifice everything in your life right now for this one person, but you're really going to regret that later. And they understood some things that we didn't. I mean, we were only 16 and 14 when we started dating. So, I get those things now as an adult. I didn't. But do you find when you have passion for something – and just you have the blinders on.
You do.
Like nothing else matters.
We talked about this the other day. Like when you first get your driver's license and you're so like yes. fired up about it, you're like, does anybody need anything at the grocery store?
Yeah.
Can I pick up anything? Like, and now they're like, can you go to the grocery store? You're like, oh, come on.
Yeah. It's like, I got to put my shoes on. Like, yeah, no, I totally remember. My dad would send me to 7-Eleven for lottery tickets and a gallon of milk.
Yep.
You
were so pumped
yeah,
to go.
Yeah,
right?
Like, let's go. I got the keys. I'm in. Yeah, totally. New experiences tend to do that. But you're willing to sacrifice so much for those things that you're really passionate about. As people get older, they tend to be cautious around letting their hearts get too tied up into things because they get burnt. And so I find, and maybe I'm wrong, but I find that as I coach people and as I watch people as they get older, they're more cautious about what they let themselves sacrifice for. So, you find somebody in their 40s, 50s, or 60s, and they're kind of like, yeah, let the younger folks do that sort of thing. You hear certain things like that, and man, that such triggers the wrong thing in me because I'm like, should we start planning your funeral now? Like, like you still have a whole bunch of life to live.
Right.
So, like, let's get passionate about some things. Yeah, you might sacrifice some things that, you turn around and go, I probably shouldn't have sacrificed that. But, man, I want to fall in love with things that – I'm driven to, like, nobody had to tell me to call my wife or to take her out. Like, when we were dating, like, nobody had to follow up with me on those things. Nobody had to follow up with me. Like, when I went to college or even in, what I do, like, nobody calls me and is like, oh, did you, prepare your talk for this weekend? Did you prepare your sermon? Like, no. Like, most of the time, my wife's like, put the phone down. Like, I need you here,
right?
Because my passion takes over. Like, nobody had to tell me to go lead trips to Israel. Like, my passion for that took over. And most of the time, I'm like, oh, you know what? I probably can't do 2 trips a year. You know, like, you know, some of those things, like I have to be able to, you know, someone has to be able to jerk that chain back. But as a, you know, as that person, I'm kind of like a pit bull on a pork chop. Like I'm in, I want it, and I'm going to go after it, and we're going to do those things.
I wonder why that is, because even when you're a kid, you have all that excitement. You're not afraid to express it. But as you act older, you lose that passion.
100%. And it's so frustrating because most people are trying to, at some level, find that purpose, find that passion, that thing that's just going to get them up and drive them. But they've settled so much over and over and over again for what they think they wanted or what they think everybody else thinks they should have. And then you just get complacent. I mean, complacency, comfort, those things are the enemy of any type of progress.
Well, you know, culture beats you down pretty good, too. You know, when you have failure successes, when you get beat over the head when it's a failure, and people undermine you when it's you're trying to get successes. So you end up hiding what you're doing. And that hiding means that you got to bottle it up, too. And then you get used to not expressing those things so much that you just even stop feeling it.
No, well, I totally agree with that. And some people have spouses that are totally risk averse, and and then you get into, well, I'm responsible for the kids, and then I have the mortgage payment, and you get all this stuff that layers on top of itself, and it's like, well, I can't risk anything. Like, if I do that, what if I lost the house? What if I lose the spouse? What if I lose the job? But and all these what ifs play in, and then you're just like, you know what? I just got to make it safely to death, and then we never risk anything,
right,
and we never
exactly.
sacrifice
you
anything.
Might as well be dead then.
Right. Yep. And at that point, it's like, come on, there has to be more than what I've had. And I don't ever want to lose that for myself. So let's go here on the sacrifice side of things. How do you not lose that passion and that drive? How are you willing to say, you know what, if it all goes, it all goes, but I'm in at doing X, Y, or Z? How do you not lose the risk and the cojones, the gumption, the chutzpah, whatever word you want to use there, to kind of, hey, I want to press into this, and you know what, if I lose everything, I'm going all in, not every hand should you go all in on. I mean, to use a poker analogy, like, but when you think you have the best hand at the table, by all means,
don't
go all in.
Don't be afraid to
exactly.
play the game. Yeah,
so how do you combat that fear? Because so many people are terrified in life to try new things. To they just hit a spot and they're like, all right, I'm comfortable. I'm just going to live here and I don't need anything else.
Who you partner with is a big deal. What you said earlier, if you don't have the backing of the people that are on your own household, you'll be terrified to make any choice.
Yeah.
And that apathy will lead right to where we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So I feel like either you are self-motivated, where you build yourself up and don't need the influence of other people.
Yeah.
You have a great partner, or church family or close friends that understand you and will support you even if you come up short.
Yeah. So who is a big part of that? And I think that's true. When I was a kid, and I can remember, when you get in trouble, my mom never cared about what I did. She just wanted to know who I was with, because she knew who determined what. And so I think that plays a lot into the same sort of thing. Like, if you're hanging around with certain types of people that are negative all the time, or that are risk averse, then that trickles into you. If you want to take more risks, put yourself around people that are being successful in taking risks and trying stuff. I think so many of us arrive at this spot where we think failure is final. And we have this kind of space in our head, well, if I fail at this, I'm a failure forever. And not realizing that, well, if you sacrifice this, or you risk that, or you step out in faith in some area and it doesn't pan out, it's not the end of the story. It might be one paragraph in the story.
Sure.
But so many folks are, I can't fail. I don't want to fail, and if it's even possible that I could fail, I'm not going to do it. I heard a mentor say early on, he said, if you could do anything in your life and knew that you would succeed, what would you do? Was the question that was asked. And you think about it and you answer the question, whatever. I would start a company and do da 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 da. I would start my own church. I would have a family and travel around in our RV and, work remotely. I would, whatever that is. And, you lay out this elaborate vision. If I knew I was going to succeed, what would I do? And then they lean across the table and they say, well, you're a coward if you don't do it. That's like,
I mean,
it hurts.
It's a check.
But it's totally true. Like at some level, if that's what's in your heart to do,
go do it.
And you're not going to even take a swing. Like you only get maybe 80, 90 good years, maybe not good years, but
right.
90 years total, 100 years if you're really, really lucky.
So that would be a good test, though, that go to your partner tonight, right, and take something that you love – and said, hypothetically, if I did X, you got my back, and then see how they respond to it.
Yeah.
And you'll know if you've got to build up the relationship to be able to handle those kind of like questions and big high end passions.
Yeah. No, 100%. I think people's kind of risk averse nature and the willingness to be complacent and comfortable overrides the willingness to sacrifice to achieve greatness, like our quote from Napoleon Hill in the beginning. Is there anything you look back in your life and you say, I wish I would have made that sacrifice? I hesitated. I had the opportunity and I passed on it. There was something that I could have laid that down and my career would have been further. My relationship with Deb would have been better. Is there any sacrifice you look at that you saw it and at the moment maybe were a little hesitant and you didn't take that plunge because of fear?
There's a couple times that I was paralyzed because of indecision. And I really made it my goal to and I create these hypotheticals. So if I know I put into a critical position, I know what I would do before the emotion hit. So there's some times where, you know, I'm a young kid and I bought the materials and I'm ready to do the business and I don't know something and I freeze and I don't know what to do. And I let that opportunity go away because I just didn't know, what to do. Had I go back in time, revisit that moment and say, just go. What's the worst that can happen? You're short now $800. In that time, $800 was everything.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Right now, I'll take that bet every single time.
Yeah. No, I think, when I look back at some of the things, even in high school now and particularly athletically, I made calculated kind of decisions on, I'm probably not going to play there. So I don't need to sacrifice all this extra time. I almost actually didn't even play baseball my senior year. Now, I loved baseball. And coming into my senior year, it wasn't that I wasn't good enough to be on the team. I played my senior year. We went 18-4 and won the Group 2 division locally. And then we lost in the state semifinal or state final. And kind of cool, my picture's in the trophy case at my high school.
Beautiful.
And stuff like that.
See, that's nice.
But in that moment, I almost didn't play my senior year because I thought, you know what? I'm going to Bible college. They don't even have a baseball team. I'm not called to play baseball. I'm called to be a pastor. And so I had this kind of trajectory I was on. And the question was, do I want to sacrifice my spring doing all this stuff to prep for baseball and all the extra stuff? Do I want to do the hitting league this winter? Do I want to play fall baseball? I mean, it was a commitment. And I was asking myself, like, I'm probably not going to play next year anywhere. I'm going to go to college and I'm going to be all in on this. So maybe I can start some of that stuff early. And I had this whole conversation with my mom. And I can remember we were sitting in her car and she said to me, she goes, I understand what you're saying. And I hear, but don't go on to the next phase too quickly. If you sacrifice this now, you may regret it for the rest of your life. Could be your last year ever playing baseball. And it was. And it was a heck of a ride. We were 18-4. It was awesome. It was a ton of fun, got interviewed in the newspaper, all that sort of fun stuff. And I'm so glad that I did it. But that was one of those moments where I almost made a sacrifice because I was already two moves ahead on the chessboard thinking about what was next. And I wasn't living in the moment. And sometimes I think people are willing to sacrifice too early, especially driven people, because they'll see the goal and they'll sacrifice something that's really beneficial now and really was fruitful and I'm glad I did it. Is there any sacrifices you look at that you're like, I probably did that too early and it didn't really pan out the way that you thought because you over-sacrificed?
I do everything too early. So every decision I make is before I'm ready. Because if I honestly, I'm impulsive. Okay. So I'll lose interest in something if it's not risky enough or I don't get enough. When it gets to be regular, I'm not interested in it anymore. Yeah. I'm just a different animal, animal that way. But I have there's very little competition in the space of people acting first. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Everybody's joining it once it's proven and it's a sure thing.
Yeah. That's Malcolm Gladwell, The Tipping Point, right? You have your early adopters and then you have your late adopters and your laggards and he has this kind of, I think he calls it someone calls it crossing the chasm, and you have to get to a certain percentage. I think it's like 32 or 33% of mass market kind of buy into your product, and then you hit the tipping point, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, why don't you have that? But everybody, you know, has about 10% of people that just get it, those early adopters, first kind of buy-in. But then it's those people in the beginning there that you get that get you to that certain point that allow everybody
even more
to
for them, buy-in. Right.
Right, exactly. Because, you know, there's those people in our lives that still, if they could have a dumb phone, would have a dumb phone. They didn't want to have the smartphone. Right. They probably still have a rotary dial phone at their home. But, the only reason they upgrade is because they have to, not because they want to. And
but
that's
you know that whole mentality forces me to create more contingencies than most people, where I'm really quick to act on the first one, but I already know Plan B. If that one fizzles out, I'm not over in love with it. I'm not over invested in it, and I can bail on it if it really wasn't for me. But you know, when I was young, I used to see that in Ohio we would have technology A, and then you look over to California, and they'd always have like a year or two advance of what was going to happen. And I said, how can they see the horizon? Why is it that they haven't seen before and it takes a while to get to us?
You know, it's interesting, and this is totally has zero to do with sacrifice, but since you brought it up, when you watch the country 20 or 30 years ago, right, the culture started pretty much on the coasts and worked its way in. And so the Midwest was 5 or 10 years behind fashion, all that, like genuinely it moved. And with the advent of the internet and so much of the speed that we've seen now in the last 10, 15 years, it's almost instantaneous the way culture shifts every 6 months.
Yeah. Well, it is sacrifice. Think about it. Like the newest technologies would come to the coast because the venture capitalists live there. The money that was willing to put something in an idea that didn't make sense. Here are bankers. They want to know business plans that have a forecasting model before they'll put a dime into it. Yeah. Out there, you're like, I got a good idea. Sign me up. You know,
how much do you need? Yeah. No, that's so good. Well, we're just about wrapped up here, and I hope that you kind of caught some nuggets from this, talk on sacrifice. Obviously, there are big things like sacrificing your life for your spouse.
We started out really heavy,
didn't
we?
We did. But ultimately, we all make sacrifices every day. We make sacrifices in our time and in our finance and with our companies and the various things we're involved in. And so as you get to the table, though, don't be afraid when you have a good hand to push your chips to the middle. Like risk and sacrifice in that sense, even if you lose the hand, it's worth it. It's worth playing, in my opinion.
There you go. So, perfect. Well said.
We appreciate you guys. Thursday. 4:00. You don't want to miss it. Conspiracy Theories Round 2.
Part 2, baby.
Be here. It's going to be good. Maybe we'll bust out some tinfoil hats. It's going to be awesome. Love you guys.